chapter 13, also the book of Hebrews, chapter 7. The book of Luke, chapter 13, we'll read verses 10 through verse 17. And he, Jesus, was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath, and behold, there was a woman which had a spirit of infirmity 18 years, and was bowed together, and could in no wise lift up herself. And when Jesus saw her, he called her to him, and said unto her, Woman, thou art loosed from thine infirmity. And he laid his hands on her, and immediately she was made straight, and glorified God. And the ruler of the synagogue answered with indignation, because that Jesus had healed on the Sabbath day, and said unto the people, There are 6 days in which men ought to work, and them therefore come and be healed, and not on the Sabbath day. The Lord then answered him and said, Thou hypocrite, doth not each one of you on the Sabbath loose his ox or his ass from the stall, and lead him away to watering? And ought not this woman, being a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan hath bound, lo, these 18 years, be loosed from this bond on the Sabbath day? And when he had said these things, all his adversaries were ashamed, and all the people rejoiced for all the glorious things that were done by him. Hebrews chapter 7, read verse 24 and 25. But this man, Jesus, because he continueth ever, hath an unchangeable priesthood. Wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. What we read in Luke is one of the many recorded healing, transforming, life-altering miracles of Jesus Christ. These recorded miracles of Christ are accounts of supernatural power. They're basically sermons in action. They teach us some very important, some very vital spiritual truths, and they do so in a way that should be unforgettable. They are a demonstration. They are an illustration of the gospel in a very simple and far-reaching way. They serve as graphic pictures of the desperate need of man. They serve as a graphic picture of God's grace, His mercy, His love, His compassion, His tenderness, His kindness, and the power of Christ. They reveal that Jesus Christ is greater than all else, and that He is the solution, that He is the answer, that He is the remedy for whatever plagues man. And all through the Gospels, we see Jesus Christ in a variety of places performing these life-altering miracles. And they're all pictures, again, of the ability and the sufficiency of Christ to meet and to exceed the varied, desperate needs of man. Now, this particular miracle, only recorded by Luke, Jesus was teaching in the synagogue. We see that in verse 10. It happened to be the Sabbath day. There are 7 recorded Sabbath day miracles of Christ. If you look chronologically, this would have been the 6th of those 7. But Jesus healed on the Sabbath. When he did so, he used it as an occasion to expose the hypocrisy of the Pharisees, and this miracle here is no different. He's exposing the hypocrisy of the Pharisees, and that's seen in verses 14 through verse 16. So there's Jesus. He's teaching in the synagogue. Verse 11 says, And behold, that should get our attention right away. There's a word that says stop and look. because something magnificent is about to take place. So verse 11 basically says, stop, look. And our attention is drawn to there was a woman. There was a woman. This woman would be the blessed recipient of this miracle of Christ. It is declared that she had a spirit of infirmity. As a result, she was bowed together. That was her condition. She had a spirit of infirmity. That's the root of her condition. She had a spirit of infirmity. It is also stated concerning her that, and could in no wise lift up herself. So there was inability on her part. There was ineptitude on her part. There was a powerlessness on her part. She had a life-altering problem, and she's unable to fix it. She's unable to fix her life. But Jesus is in that same synagogue as her. And in our text in Hebrews, it is declared that he is able. She could in no wise lift up herself, but he is able. He is able to save to the uttermost. So in that synagogue, you have human inability to the uttermost. She could in no way, there was no way possible that this woman could lift up herself, and you have divine ability. Human inability, divine ability in the same synagogue. And it's divine ability to the uttermost. He is able to save to the uttermost. So our subject this morning is human inability meets divine ability. Human inability meets divine ability. Now we've preached on this woman in the past. We want to take a look at her this morning again, and behold, there was a woman. Verse 16 tells us that she was a daughter of Abraham. That means a couple of things. It means, of course, by natural descent, she was a Jew. She was a Jew. She wasn't a Samaritan. She wasn't half Jew, half Gentile. She was a daughter of Abraham. She was of the descent of Abraham. But more importantly, that is a title that says there is a spiritual application. She was a child of God. She was a child of the Lord. Her physical condition is described in verse 11. She had an infirmity. She had a disorder. She had a weakness. She had a disability. She had something that impaired her life. This infirmity was a severe curvature of the spine. So much so that we are told that she was bowed together. She was bent double at the waist. And we are told she was like that for 18 years. For 18 years. And in verse 16, we are told that she was bound in that condition. She was trapped in that condition. She was tied. She was chained. She was shackled. She was seemingly doomed to that condition. Also in verse 16, Jesus refers to her bond. That is, her condition was firmly established. She was in a fixed and dreadful limited state. Bent double at the waist for 18 years. She was in an inescapable condition. Regarding her state, we read in verse 15, Jesus uses the analogy of an ox and a mule tied in a stall. And he is saying, this is that woman. She is like that ox. She is like that mule tied in a stall. Her life was defined by the spirit of infirmity. Every day, 6,570 days, 18 years. 6,570 days she would awake, bent double at the waist. Every day for 18 years was a struggle for her, was an inconvenience to her that few would ever understand. You walk around your house for a whole day bent double. Everything is going to be more difficult. And then you imagine that for 18 years. Every day for 18 years. Simple everyday task. Because of her condition were very difficult and very bothersome. For 18 years. Everything was an exhausting chore. For 18 years her life was greatly hampered. Her life was inhibited. Her life was thwarted. Her life was interfered with. Imagine how tiresome her life must have been. 18 years bent double at the waist. So this condition would render her very short in stature. She was dwarfed to almost half of her original height. Bent double at the waist. And she was doomed to that condition. Bent double at the waist, she is inclined earthward. Her condition prevents her from looking up. She can't look up. She can look to the side, but most of the time she's looking at the ground. She's looking at the earth. That's her life. Her life is confined to that. Her vision is very limited. Her views were very narrowed. Narrowed to the dust. And though a daughter of Abraham, which gives her many wonderful privileges, her life was confined like the ox, like the mule in the stall. Though a daughter of Abraham, that meant that she had a position of great honor. It meant that she was a person of beauty. But all of that was changed by her condition. All of that was changed by the fact that this woman was bent double. Again, she's a daughter of Abraham, a position that should bring great enjoyment to her. Her enjoyment was spoiled by this fact that she had a spirit of infirmity that caused her to be bent double. She was a daughter of Abraham, which meant that her life should have been one of service to God. But her condition made it very, very difficult, made everything difficult in her life, created all kinds of problems, created all kinds of complications. This would prove to be a massive obstacle in her life. Consider the reason for her condition. Why is this woman bent double? Why is she like this? We are told in verse 11 that she had a spirit of infirmity. She had a physical weakness, no doubt. She had a terrible disorder, an affliction. But it was all brought upon her by Satan. In verse 16, Jesus attributed her condition to Satan. He said, "Whom Satan hath bound." Now she's a daughter of Abraham. She's a saved individual. I do not believe this woman is possessed. Jesus, if you look at all the times that he healed the demon possessed, he never once laid hands on a single one of them. Not once. Here, he lays hands on this woman. I believe she's a child of God, so she is not demon-possessed. But She is oppressed by a demon. She is oppressed by Satan. Satan has brought difficulty, disorder, and affliction into her life. She has been smitten by Satan. Satan has her tied. He has her chained. He has her fettered. He has her shackled. And sadly, many of God's people are in the same condition. Satan in his malice and cruelty had brought much trouble, but brought much affliction into her life. Satan desiring to destroy this woman, desiring to ruin her, he entangles her and he binds her in this terrible, debilitating condition, bent double at the waist. Satan was wreaking havoc in every aspect of her life. Physically, she's bent double. This would cause some emotional problems, and we see it as a picture of spiritual problems as well. And this had been going on for 18 years. Now, 18 years when you're in health goes pretty quick. But 18 years in a bound condition is a long time. 18 years. She has been double at the waist. So the binding power of Satan was in her life. A daughter of Abraham. And yet we see that her whole life has been gripped by Satan. Then we see that she's helpless. Verse 11, she could in no wise lift up herself. I'm sure she tried many times. I'm sure she struggled many times to straighten up herself. Perhaps she would spend the whole day trying to straighten up herself. But she could in no wise lift up herself. No matter how hard she tried, no matter how often she tried, she was still bent double at the waist. I'm sure there were loving relatives. I'm sure there were friends. I'm sure there were people who meant well, who tried to help her to straighten up. But no matter what was tried, she was still bent double at the waist. She could in no wise lift up herself. All the skill, all the procedures of physicians could not straighten up this woman. And the truth is, any treatment of her case that did not recognize the root problem, which was a spirit of infirmity and bound by Satan, could not help her. Whoever was going to help this woman had to realize her root problem. Her root problem is not that she's bent double. Her root problem is that Satan is in her life. And nothing's going to change until that is changed. And that's true today as well. She's in the synagogue. I imagine that this is not the first time she's in the synagogue. She's a daughter of Abraham. It would be her practice to be in the synagogue. And I believe every time, for many days, she would, through those 18 years, she would make her way to the synagogue. But no matter how many times she went to that synagogue, she would leave bent double. Going to the synagogue did not fix her problem, did not fix her life. And going to church will not fix your life. And when she's in the synagogue, she's going through religious exercises. But all the religious exercises in the world could not straighten her. At the end of the day, she would leave the synagogue in the same condition that she came. And oh, how sad, but that pictures many. A child of God today. So there she is in the synagogue. A very insignificant individual in the eyes of the people. And Jesus is there and he's teaching in that same synagogue. And he's greater than her infirmity. He is greater than the power of Satan that had her bound. And he is greater than her inability. Jesus Christ is there. And he is there on this occasion, unbeknownst to her, for her. He is there. He went to the synagogue that day for her. And that brings us to what happened that day in the synagogue. Jesus, first of all, takes very special notice of her. He's teaching, and we read in verse 12, Jesus saw her. He saw everybody in that synagogue. But it's specifically stated, Jesus saw her. He saw her bowed together. Of all the people in the synagogue that day, Jesus took special notice of this woman who was bent double and who was helpless. That ought to be the prayer of every one of us when we come to the house of God, that today Jesus would take special notice of us. Of us. And he sees her in her condition. She's imprisoned. She's bound. She's miserable. She's helpless. And Jesus saw her knowingly. Everyone could see that she was bent double. You couldn't help but see that. You couldn't help but notice that. She's different. She's bent double. So everyone could see that. But Jesus saw her and he knew that she had a spirit of infirmity. And he knew that she was bound by Satan. And he saw her with an eye of compassion. He saw her with an eye of mercy. And he saw her with gracious intent to fix her life, to transform her life. So Jesus is teaching, and he sees her. Then the next thing we read in verse 12, he called her to him. He called her to him. While she was in that bowed together condition, he called her. While she was in bondage, while she was in confinement, while she was helpless, he called her. He took the initiative. Notice it is, he called her. It is a personal call. So Jesus didn't stand in the synagogue that day and say, anyone here who suffers with a spirit of infirmity, you come. It wasn't a general call. He called her. He saw her, and he called her. And then notice what it says, he called her to him. He gives her an invitation. He gives her a command to himself. He called her to him. She came. See her coming to him. Just vision in your mind. See her coming to him. She's been double at the waist. But as she's coming to him, she believes. She believes that he is able to heal her. She believes that he will heal her. So she comes. We know that she comes because Jesus touched her. So she had to come near to him. And then Jesus dealt with her root problem. Her symptom was that she was bowed together. That was her symptom. Most would look at her and say, that is her problem. But really, that is not her problem. That is the result of her real problem. She is bowed together. And in verse 12, Jesus got to the root of the matter. He said, woman, thou art loosed from thine infirmity. There was a release from the satanic spirit which inflicted her. He said unto her, basically, thou art loosed This very moment you are released from that which binds you. You are released from that which causes you to be bowed together. You are let go from the grip of Satan that has held you for 18 years. You have been set free from the spirit of infirmity. Imagine what she felt when Satan's power was broken in her life. Immediately she feels release. There was a spiritual liberty that she had not had for 18 years. Oh, what a wonderful feeling when the satanic grip was broken in her life. Jesus proved that he was greater than the grip of Satan. And may I say today, Jesus Christ is still greater than the grip of Satan. There are many whose lives are in the grip of Satan, but I'm telling you there's hope because Jesus Christ is greater than the grip of Satan. And then notice verse 13. And he, Jesus, laid his hands on her. She could in no wise lift up herself. Jesus lays his hands on her, and doing so, he transmitted strength, his strength, into her body. And immediately she was made straight. So she goes from bent double to straight. An obvious and visual change had taken place in her life. And immediately she was made straight. For 18 years, she could not straighten herself. No matter how hard she tried, no matter how many times she tried, for 18 years, there was no one who could fix this woman's life. But as a result of his touch, this woman who was helplessly bent double was made. Notice that phrase, was made. That is, caused to be something by a power outside of herself. She was made straight. As the result of an inward change, loosed. Woman, thou art loosed. So there was an inward change that took place. And now there's an outward change that takes place. That is what works. Inward to outward. Inward to outward. That is always the Lord's way. You follow it all through the Old Testament, the New Testament. That's always the Lord's way. Inward, outward. There has to be an inward change. That's why you can determine in your mind, I'm going to do better. And you might for a day, you might for 2 days. But eventually you revert right back. Because there has not been an inward change. I don't believe this woman was ever bent double again. There was a change that took place. And as a result, she feels compelled to praise the Lord. She was made straight and glorified God. Because she knew that He was the one who straightened her. She knew that he was the one who loosed her from that spirit of Satan. So how did she go home that day? She went home walking upright, praising the Lord all the way. So let's make application. She has a spirit of infirmity that caused her to be bowed together and bound in that condition. You look at her, she's a sad sight. She's bent double, physically bound. But she's a picture of something far, far more serious than a physical condition. She's a picture of a spiritual condition. This woman had been smitten by Satan. Her life had been gripped by Satan. As a result, she's bent double. And this is a picture of many of God's people who, though they have been set free in their salvation experience, they have become spiritually bound. And like this woman, they find their lives in the grip of Satan. And they're confined to that spiritual condition. Oh, they try many things, but nothing works. Some are bound by fear and worry. There are many of God's people who are bound by fear and worry. Some by the guilt of unconfessed sin and unforsaken sin. Some are bound with a bad spirit and a bad attitude. You watch individuals. It doesn't matter what happens. Their spirit is just rotten. Their attitude is bad. Some are bound by an unforgiving spirit. Some may be bound by envy. Some may be bound by covetousness. Some by selfishness. Some by self-will. Some may be bound by pride and unbelief. And some may even be bound by religion and religious exercises. But the truth is, many of God's people are bent double. And because of that, life is a struggle. Life is always a struggle for them. It's inconvenient. It's difficult. Everything is bothersome. And everything exhausts them. Even the simple task, they find it to be exhausting because they've got a spiritual condition. Many, like this woman, are spiritually hampered. They are inhibited. They are thwarted. Their life is confined. Just like that ox or mule in the stall. They live in a very small space. They've been set free in salvation. But Satan now has them confined to a stall. And that's where they live their life. It's sad, but it's true. Many of God's people are this way. They live very unfulfilling lives. Empty lives. No lasting satisfaction. Oh, they may get some satisfaction every now and then, but it doesn't last. They're restless. They're joyless. And they become spiritually numb. They become spiritually numb and exasperated. They're dwarfed spiritually, just like this woman was dwarfed by her condition. Their beauty is marred. 18 years have bent double. The beauty is marred. Her condition brought her many problems. Because of the condition of many of God's people, their lives are filled with problems and complications. She's looking earthward. For the most part, other than the fact that she can see a little bit to the sides, her life is inclined earthward. She's bent double. She's looking down. And that describes many of God's people. Their lives are earthward. That's a miserable life. We've been set free from that life. But Satan enters in and has many inclined earthward. But there's Jesus. He's in that same synagogue. And he's able to save. That is, he is able to rescue that individual. He's able to deliver. He's able to salvage their life. And this to the uttermost. And we see that this woman, that the Lord transformed this woman's life. And we read in verse 17 that all the people rejoiced for all the glorious, for all the magnificent and marvelous and spectacular, stunning and awesome things that were done by him. And Jesus is still able today to do what no one else can do. Still able today to do that which is magnificent. Still able today to do the marvelous and the spectacular and the stunning and the absolute awesome. He's still able. Oh, what a wonderful thing when human inability meets divine ability. That's a wonderful thing. That's what happened to us when we were saved. And we need it to happen continuously throughout our lives. So God's people do not have to live lives bent double. They don't have to live a life of defeat. Many have been doing so for even longer than 18 years. This woman being bent double, it defined her life. And God's people can get in a terrible spiritual condition that ends up defining their life. How sad. But there is Jesus. There is Jesus. And He's able. And He's able today. If Satan has you bound, Jesus Christ is able to set you free. He's able. Oh, it ought to be your prayer today that He would come into your life, that He would see you, that He would give that command and you automatically come. He called her to Him. We need Jesus to call us to Him every single day. Every single day. If a day goes by that you do not hear that call, you better get things right. Because pretty soon that day will turn into 2 days, and then three, and then four. And before you know it, a year has passed. And then another year, and another. And before you know it, that's your life. Doesn't have to be that way for the child of God. If you're here and unsaved today, your condition is beyond your imagination. You can't even imagine how desperate your condition is. And you in no wise can get yourself out of that condition. But Jesus Christ is here. And we pray that He would look upon you today and call you to Himself. That you would see yourself as you are, and cry out to Him for mercy, because He is able to save. Jesus Christ is able to save. And He's able to save to the uttermost, that is completely. Jesus Christ does not halfway or partly save anyone. He saves to the uttermost. He saves completely. There's no such thing as a half-saved person. You're either saved or you're not. And if you're saved, Jesus did the saving. And if you're not saved, He's the one that does the saving. You need Him today. Cry out to Him for mercy. And He'll save your soul. Brother Larry, if you'd come and lead us in verse of song.